Good morning to you, sisters and brothers, saints and sinners, disciples of Christ and children of God. How do you pray? How do you pray? Now, our disciples haven't quite gotten the knack of this. They have to ask. They've seen it done. And surely it means something when they've seen John the Baptist do his thing, talking to God and having these conversations, and Jesus himself having one-on-one conversations with God. They want to have those conversations. They want to hear God's voice saying to them what to do. And they want to know how it is that Jesus does this. For them to hear God's voice. And so here the disciples come upon Jesus in prayer, thinking that's the perfect opportunity to ask Jesus something. And he does. He gives them some words that they can use for themselves. Now, Luke's version is a little bit abbreviated from the version that we're all familiar with. But Luke's version goes like this. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. The words Jesus says are simple, yet they ask everything that needs to be asked. May the day of the kingdom come. May our needs be met. And may our sins be forgiven. And may we be saved from the trials and temptations that surround us in life on earth. And we have plural pronouns here. It doesn't say, may I, it says, may we. And that's something to remind the disciples and all of us that we are part of a greater group. That when we ask for things together as one, we have the potential to reach the stars. But Jesus doesn't stop with just giving those simple words out for people to follow and recite. He continues on with a parable explaining how one should pray. And so there's this man who surprises a friend in the middle of the night. And who among us would want to get up and answer the door in the middle of the night? It must certainly be an emergency, right? But the friend is disturbed and is like, I don't have time for this. You know, I'm sleeping, I'm happy, I'm comfortable in my bed, the kids are asleep. So he doesn't really want to help them out right then and there. Come back in the morning. But the man is shamelessly persistent about it. And because of the shameless persistence, the friend relents. And then Jesus also recounts how ordinary people, even those that do wrong, will still give their children what they need if they ask for him. Ask for them. Ask for it. Because, you know, I mean, Jesus goes, you know, uses a little bit of hyperbole here. I mean, who's going to hand their kid a scorpion? I mean, that's not sure. What kind of parent would do such a thing if he asks for an egg? But I get the point, you know, because even bad parents will still feed their kids for the most part. And I don't think Jesus is talking to those very extreme examples here. And so he's also separating the people of earth, the human, the faulty people from God. God, who is so much better than humans, will most certainly account for the needs of his children. Now, for myself, I've struggled my entire life with what prayer is about and how to do it. How does God listen? What does God listen to? And so we can look back at our passage from Genesis this morning, and it's evident that God is willing to listen to those that petition him. When we look at Abraham having this one-on-one conversation with God, and I can imagine what the disciples thought, well, Abraham had this conversation with God too, like this. And what Abraham asked of the of God's treatment for the people of Sodom, if he negotiated this down to 10 righteous people. And God said, yes, if for the sake of 10 righteous people, I will not destroy the city. Now, of course, we know how this, many of us know how this turns out. They couldn't find 10 people. And the people were so consumed with being unwelcoming to the stranger, failed at being compassionate to the poor in their midst, and were generally self-indulgent. But that's a later passage in Genesis, and I'll be happy to discuss this another time with you. Still, Abraham and God were able to have this conversation, and God was able to fulfill Abraham's wishes. God was able to listen. God listened to what Abraham asked of him. God listens to what people ask of him. But none of us are like Abraham, being able to sit there and have these one-on-one conversations with God, having this negotiation technique. And so the question about prayer becomes one about how do we do it? And what do we say in order that God is paying attention to us and meeting our needs? Now let me give some credit where credit is due. My mother, I come from a Lutheran family, We go back a number of generations. We come from Lutherans that immigrated to South Carolina in the 18th century. And although there's been some Baptists in there and some Methodists in there, here and there, still, my mother taught all of us as children, and I'm sure other people other than Lutherans did this as well. I'm not saying that this is a strictly Lutheran thing. But when we were little children, back in the 1970s, I'm older than I look, when we were children, we were taught to fold our hands and kneel beside our bed. And there was this little prayer that started, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And so we would have and then that prayer would follow with a conversation with God, not like a list to Santa Claus about what we wanted, but more about blessing everyone we love, even those that we might have been mad at. I had an older sister and brother who I thought were malicious and cruel to me, and I still had to include them in this prayer. And I did. But if you're familiar with the first half of that little prayer, there's a second half. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that was kind of creepy. And I lay awake no small number of nights after saying that prayer, thinking about dying before I wake. I don't know if people teach children that prayer anymore. I hope not. There are better prayers for children. But I do know that my nightly prayer habit did go the way of my adolescence. And as I got older, particularly when I stopped being active in church around the age of 19 or 20, I stopped praying altogether. Unless when I found myself in a desperate situation, as I did a lot in my early 20s, and was at the end of my rope, I had no problem bargaining with a higher power, whoever was listening out there, to rescue me from the sad state of affairs that I had gotten myself into. And, well, God kept me around for a reason. Now, when I became clean and sober, and many of you know that I had a history of chemical indulgence way back a few years ago, I struggled to find a way to pray consistently. Now, one of the things they told me was I needed to put my shoes underneath my bed so that in the morning I would get down on my knees and that would remind me to pray. But having attention ADHD, I can't even say it. ADHD makes it difficult for me to develop habits that I can continue, that last. So I have to be particularly creative about doing them. And so my shoes never wound up underneath my bed. Sometimes they wouldn't wind up in my bedroom. They might be in the living room. They might be in the bathroom. They might be on the front porch. Who knows? I could never understand how they wound up in some of the places they wound up. So there was no hitting my knees next to the bed this morning to get my shoes out from underneath it. And so I had to get creative. I wound up getting in the habit of asking God to bless my food because I was always eating. I would always have meals. And so I learned, I knew ahead of the meal that I'm going to bless my food. And so at those times was when I asked God also for the prayers I needed to ask for. And the wonderful thing about eating is you often eat with people so you can ask other people to join in. Let us pray for our food and whatever else we need. And the conversation continues. It stops being just one-on-one. God talks to all of us. But prayer shouldn't just be about food. It shouldn't just revolve around food. And getting into habits and asking for blessings for one's daily activities becomes a way to involve God in all of your affairs. When I sit down to work on my weekly sermon, be it ready to read the text, study, or type, I ask God to take part and guide my hands and help me make my words at least God's own in part. We can ask for God to bless our housework, that even something as menial as folding laundry can become a sacred affair. When we meet as church committees here at Lutheran Church of the Cross, we ask for God's guidance ahead of the meeting. But why can't we pray in advance of other negotiations? Why not pray before planning meetings at your workplace, even if you're only praying by yourself before you walk in the meeting room? Why not ask God to bless you on your walks, whether they be for exercise or even if you're just out walking your dog? Who knows what work might be in store for you at those times? I tell you, what though? I always wondered if God knows all our heart's desires and all of our needs and hears us cry out when we are in pain, how then is there a right or wrong way to pray? How do the words actually impact what we're doing and not what's inside of us? How do we ask for God's guidance and God to come into our lives? Now, there's a word in Greek that we use when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It's my pronunciation might be a little bit off, but it's pneuma. Now, it's also not only the word for spirit, but it's also the word for breath and the word for wind. We get the English word pneumatic from this. And pneumatic, if you know what that means, it's a tires are pneumatic. It means they're filled with air. So the Holy Spirit, by definition, is wrapped up with the wind and it's wrapped up in our breath. And as a person who breathes air in and out in order to live, the Holy Spirit is necessary for us to live in Christ. The church is a body, and the body needs to breathe. Whereas, as a human being, we breathe in and out air, the church breathes in and out the Holy Spirit through our prayers. Our lungs may be the communal prayer we say during Sunday morning worship. As we pray, we breathe out our petitions to our loving God, keeping that relationship alive with Him. We breathe out prayer, we breathe in the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit fills us, renews us, provides for the lifeblood of the church. But for us, getting into the habit of constantly asking the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, it might set us on a path that completely takes us out of our control and into God's control, acting in ways that puts us in places and leaves us going places beyond our wildest imagination. You might find yourself in food banks, feeding people from the street. You might find yourself ministering to prison inmates, saving undocumented workers from horrific conditions, or just sitting next to a person at the end of their life, breathing in, breathing out, until they breathe their last. Leaving yourself open and vulnerable to the kind of people that society would rather forget about. The kind of people that Jesus hung around. What if that's what leaving yourself open to that kind of respiration of prayer out, spirit in activity that your soul craves down deep? The conversation with God that would be daily and regular part of our lives, not just here on church on Sunday morning, not just at dinner time while you're having your meal, but so ingrained in us, like eating, like drinking, like walking, like breathing. Lord, you brought me to a new morning. Thank you for this day. Give me the strength to get out of bed and help me to be kinder to my family and friends and strangers I might meet. Lord, you've given me gifts to make a vocation. Thank you for more work. Give me patience to deal with the traffic, to deal with my boss and my coworkers. Lord, you've helped me sustained in a wonderful life. Thank you for bringing me to reside in this wonderful place I live in. Teach me to see my neighbors, no matter who they might be, with new eyes so that I might be a good neighbor to them. And Lord, you've brought me to the end of a new day. Thank you for helping me grow a bit more, learn a bit more, trust in you a bit more. Help me to rest peacefully and give me welcome dreams to restore my energy for tomorrow. And Lord, help me pray more frequently, more shamelessly, more fearlessly, more generously, and more boldly. And fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might be a vessel for proclaiming the good news to all your people. Amen.